the complete works of William Shakespeare, as told by... Tonight's episode, The Winter's Tale. The Winter's Tale was written about 1610 to 1611. As the play opens, Poloxenes, the king of Bohemia, has been visiting his old friend, King Leontes, in Sicily. They grew up together, they were kids together, they grew and have been friends forever. Ages and ages. But he's been visiting his friend for like 9 months, which is going to be important here in a second. And he's about ready to return to Bohemia. He's got to check on his kid. He's got to, you know, get back to being king of Bohemia. He's got stuff to do. Leontes begs him to stay longer. But Poloxenes once again says, look, I got to get back. It's been 9 months. Come on. Leontes has his pregnant wife, Hermione, beg him then. And she actually succeeds in persuading him to stay. And Leontes takes this as proof that Hermione has seduced his old friend and made Leontes a cockle. He's obsessed and paranoid, and despite pretty much everyone at the court telling him that he's wrong, Leontes asks his servant Camillo, I think, to poison Poloxenes, but assures him that he's asked the oracle. Leontes has asked the oracle to confirm his suspicions so the people don't think he's a tyrant. Just for the time being, until we hear back from the oracle, go and poison Poloxenes. Camillo opts instead to warn Poloxenes, and they both flee to Bohemia together, leaving Hermione and her son Mamilius to deal with the accusations and the terrible insinuations that Leontes is making. Leontes imprisons Hermione, and then she delivers the baby girl that she's pregnant with in prison. This is why the 9 months that Poloxenes had been in Sicily was important, because it adds to his theory that the child is actually his. So anyway, Paulina, who is something of a noblewoman and a lady in waiting, takes the baby to Leontes to try and persuade him to accept his child. Instead, Leontes instructs Paulina's husband, Antigonus, I think, to kill the child, to just slit her throat right then. Again, pretty much everyone in the court says this is a bad idea. And so Leontes relents charges Antigonus to take the child into some dark, horrible place in exile, and we'll leave it to nature if she lives or dies then. It's not our problem. But part of the deal is... he says to Antigonus, you can't tell anybody where you're going, you can't give hints to people where to find the child, it all has to be left up to nature. In trying to show that he's no tyrant, and confident that his paranoia is real, Leontes puts Hermione on trial, and quickly finds her guilty. Nice legal system they got there in Sicily. At the same time, almost immediately after this sentence is passed, she's vindicated by a message from the Delphic Oracle, who says, no, she's not been unfaithful, Leontes is an idiot. I'm paraphrasing, of course. At this stage, Leontes believes the Oracle is wrong, and has been corrupted, and denies it. Unfortunately, when this is revealed... all chaos breaks loose. Mamilius has died from heartbreak at his mother's imprisonment, and Hermione seems to collapse and die before his eyes. And with all of this, he starts to have second thoughts. Maybe the Oracle's right. With nothing left, he repents his actions, and he goes into this long era of mourning and remorse and sorrow and everything. Antigonus, meanwhile, has placed the baby on a beach in Bohemia. But unfortunately, a bear eats him. A shepherd and his son, also known as the clown, discover Antigonus' bear-eaten corpse, as well as the abandoned child, and they take, the girl to their home. 16 years pass, so time the chorus would have us know. And during this time, Leontes has mourned the loss of his child and his wife, and... shepherd's daughter, a girl by the name of Perdita, because she's lost so much. She's that's the whole point. That's the, get it? Perdita is currently putting together the annual sheep shearing feast, And Polixenes and Camillo, in disguise, attend the feast. They meet the rogue, Autolycus, who prior to the feast itself, he actually had tricked the young clown shepherd and stolen his purse so that he could buy knickknacks to sell at the feast. And is just one of those typical Shakespearean rogues who just likes to muck about with things and make people's lives a little worse for his own enjoyment. Anyway, Polixenes reveals himself and reprimands his son because his son has pretty much said, I'm going to marry this girl, it doesn't matter what my father thinks. And so Polixenes effectively disowns him and threatens the shepherds for promoting Perdita's friendship and romance with the prince and how inappropriate that is, the wrong stations, etc., etc. Anyway, Camillo and Autolycus help Florizel and Perdita run away to Sicily to escape. Florizel and Perdita are pursued by the shepherds, partially at the urging of Autolycus, who says, you know, you gotta, you know, he's mucking about with things, obviously, as a puppet master. And the shepherds are then pursued by Polixenes and Camillo, who are also trying to resolve everything. At Leontes' court, Florizel introduces Perdita as his wife and tries to explain to Leontes that the king of Bohemia wants to put things back to the old ways of friendship before the whole messy accusation and death of family thing. And, you know, he's there as his father's emissary and it's all good. Don't bother calling him. It's fine. Let's try and get this thing resolved. Unfortunately, news of Bohemia's anger at his son travels fast, and it looks like Florizel's been caught in a lie because, you know, there's this thing where it's very clear that, you know, Polixenes is not happy with his son. As things are sort of spiraling from there, Polixenes himself has arrived, and he's actually learned the tale of the bear-eaten protector and Perdita's journey to the shepherd's care. And he reveals that Perdita is, in fact, Leontes' daughter. Hey, so, you know, everybody's of noble rank, and things are all looking up, and everybody's going to be able to marry who they want to marry, and it's all good, and look at that. Everyone, meanwhile, then goes with Paulina to see a newly completed statue of Hermione. And everybody's blown away by the craftsmanship and the way the artist seemingly captured Hermione's spirit, including making her age 16 years, as if this is how she would look today if she were still alive. And then, you know, the statue breathes and moves and, what's going on? It's revealed that Hermione has actually been living in seclusion for the last 16 years, waiting for her daughter to be found. Leontes and Hermione are therefore united, and all is sort of forgiven, and everything's going to be right now. As a reward, Leontes gives Camillo to Paulina as her new husband, because, as you recall, Paulina's husband, Antigonus, eaten by a bear. So everything works out, unless you're Mamilius or Antigonus, in which case you died because, Leontes was a jerk. I read this play in the freezing cold, waiting for the New York City Marathon to start, and I tossed out my copy of the play that I'd printed off the internet amongst the discarded Gatorade bottles and the half-eaten Dunkin' Donuts and disposable trash bags people were using to bundle up, trying to stay warm. So I don't have a lot of notes because they're all in New York now, in some city dump, but the one thing I would say is that in many ways this is a play about forgiveness and the redemptive and healing power of time. It's a play it's obviously the later period of Shakespeare because we're doing this in chronological order, but it's also part of that period because it's about this idea that time is sort of falling and you try and resolve some of the outstanding issues and that sort of thing. Winter's Tale, as I said, written about 1610, 1611, one of the last plays by William Shakespeare.